Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I am your host for the podcast. Now you must get sick of hearing me say that every week because that's what I do. But today, I'm really excited about today because I'm going to get a learning. Now, poor Cheryl doesn't realise this, but I'm going to be racking her brains about getting an understanding about hormones, all those hormonal feelings that we get or experiences that we go through because, you know, we go through them. I have gone through menopause now, but I still experience a few hot flushes. And we're going to get down to the nitty gritty of all that. We're going to sort of, you know, drag out some of my deep and darkest yuckies and work out why I'm getting this. But that's what it's all about today, all about our hormones. I had a huge breakthrough when I was a lot younger with my period. And we might even get time to discuss that. But I want you to get a good understanding of what it's all about. And the perfect person to do that is Cheryl. So welcome to the podcast, Cheryl.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. And I love what you're doing because like my whole mission, so the name of my business is Your Tiny Voice. So it's Your Tiny Voice is trying to help people balance themselves, balance their health so that they can hear their intuition and they are actually able to trust their intuition to take steps forward in all areas of their health. So super excited to share that as a mission so that, because that's, I feel like when people are out of balance, either mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that the action that they take is sometimes not aligned and in accordance with what is the best thing for them. So really balancing them out is so important in all kind of the health pillars.
Okay. Now just wait there a minute, Cheryl, because you're jumping ahead.
Sorry.
That's where you're going. Look, I want to get a bit more of an understanding of you. Like, okay, so you're talking about your health, you're talking about hormonal changes and how we're shifting through those. No, and I don't want to make it sound like what gives you the right to do that, but I want to get an understanding of your background. How did you get to where you are today? How did you get to be a coach in your tiny voice health?
So I'm actually a chartered accountant. So I spent the majority of my working career as a chartered accountant and then moved into banks and worked my way up into senior positions doing internal audit across international banks. And like, don't get me wrong, it was a wonderful experience. I got to travel the world, get amazing skills, but it was never really my purpose. It didn't light me up. The thing that lit me up was actually coaching the members of my team. Like, that's what brought me so much joy and I think kept me in the job for as long as it did. But it wasn't, the content wasn't my jam. And there was always something missing and I was always looking for something else. And I absolutely loved health. And it was initially really focused on fitness and what I thought to be healthy eating and like really focused on that. So when I fell pregnant with my daughter, I decided that in that maternity leave, I would do my personal training qualification and then see whether that was a line of work that I would go into. But then something else happened whilst I was pregnant with my daughter. And it was one of my best friends in Australia who had traveled the world with me. We'd been together since we did our straight out of university. And we both had this shared passion for health. And she was, well, what we thought was out of the blue, diagnosed with stage 4 bowel cancer. So I was 6 months pregnant, seeing a friend really struggling through this complete health shock. So fast forward 3 months, I had my baby, and when she was 6 weeks old, my friend passed, and she was only 35 years old and no history of bowel cancer, all of the things. And it made me very fearful. I didn't quite understand how somebody who was so proactive about their health could actually, this whole thing could happen to her. So I started to question my understanding of health, and really just wanted to challenge that, because I was actually quite fearful about, you know, raising a family when things like that were just left to chance. So I did my personal training qualification, didn't love it as a career, so went back into banking. And then when I fell pregnant with my son, I said to my husband, I really want to get into this whole question that I have around health, so that I can validate the choices that I'm making for my family, from more from a nutritional standpoint was where I initially wanted to go. And so with that, when I went on to maternity leave with him, I stumbled upon the Institute of Integrative Nutrition Health Coaching Certification, which was amazing because it really gave me this broad view of what true health really meant, and really like unpacked. It's not just the food on your plate, but it's, you know, the emotions, mental, all of those sorts of things. And then through that, I started following Dr. Stephen Cabral, who's a naturopathic doctor based in the US, who his whole theory of getting to the root cause of dis-ease by looking at things like toxins, stress, nutrition, movement, all of the lifestyle pillars really resonated with me. And also was really, it was a natural way for me to think, because of my training as an auditor, where everything is, we're trying to get to the root cause of why things go wrong within organizations. And so it was the same skill set that I was then applying to then working with clients. So I did it part-time. I did health coaching part-time when I was in the bank. And then eventually I was like, I'm done. So I moved into health coaching full-time in December 2020. And it was really through my own experience of hormonal shifts earlier on that made me realize that I, at the age of 41, I was in perimenopause. And that totally freaked me out. It was, you know, the health coaching certification I did was very, very detailed. Like, we did functional medicine lab testing, but there was, I think there was like maybe two paragraphs on menopause, nothing about perimenopause. And here I was.
Cheryl, can I just ask, how did you know that you were in perimenopause?
Because I, just before I left the bank, so at the age of 41, I completely burnt out. And my ability to be able to react or respond to the amount of stress that I was under completely changed. If I'd been in that same situation when I was in my early 30s, I would have been fine. But I ended up completely wiped. Like, I wasn't sleeping. I was totally anxious. I'm a very extroverted person and I didn't want to see anyone. I was really suffering from a mental health perspective. And I went and I did a checkup and my hormones were on the floor. So I think, you know, and I know we'll get into this, but how early somebody starts to experience perimenopausal symptoms obviously depends a little bit on genetics, but mostly on lifestyle. And, you know, I shared with you before we started this call, I was a fanatical runner and ran multiple marathons back to back. And with all of the exercise I did, I didn't have a period for 10 years. So fast forward to perimenopause, I had children later in life. I was still struggling with sleep because I had young kids, working in a job that was so, so, so stressful and toxic, and, you know, working very, very long hours. And it was just this perfect storm of me then starting to suffer from these perimenopausal symptoms in a relatively young.
So do you feel like you actually brought it on yourself?
Or because of, so like almost maybe we should take a little step back and just to explain what perimenopause is, because I think people will be like, what on earth are you talking about? Because what I've recognized in my own work and coaching women is that women in midlife, I would say, you know, younger than the age of 45, and midlife I classify as like 35 plus, is they're not really resonating with the word perimenopause, menopause, because they think that they are too young to actually be going through this shift. But to really clarify, perimenopause is just the phase that we go through when our hormones start to shift and go on this journey towards menopause. And menopause is really just a point in time when we haven't had a period for 1 year. So you've only graduated into the camp of menopause when you haven't had a bleed for a full year. Anything before that, and I say conservatively from the age of 35, is when somebody is in perimenopause and would really benefit from starting to lean into a different type of lifestyle. And so the first hormone that starts to go down, which is the one that I'd experienced as being like pretty much non-existent, is progesterone. And that's the lovely calming hormone that we get after ovulation that helps us balance out estrogen in the second half of our cycle. And you'll know if your progesterone is slightly low if you get very intense PMS symptoms, your sleep is disturbed, your bleed becomes very heavy or it's very, very clotty, you get hormonal migraines. Like all of these are signs and symptoms that you don't have a good balance of estrogen and to progesterone or progesterone to estrogen in the second half of your cycle. So that's the early perimenopause symptoms, which is just because progesterone naturally starts to decline from about the age of 35. And then you add stress into the mix, which also reduces your progesterone levels. And then that's where you start to get into some of these issues like I got into, where it was anxiety. Like I'm not an anxious person, but this intense anxiety, really low mood, poor sleep, etc.
Okay, yes. All right. So perimenopause was, my belief was it was just a couple of years before menopause sort of takes over. When you say it like that, I start to think back and go, oh, right. Okay. Yep. That sort of makes a lot of sense. And why women go through as much, you know, with marriage breakdowns and things like that, because that's what you're going through. You're starting to bring up some of those feelings that you may have not suppressed, but, you know, may not be so open at sharing.
And just on that point, our hormones, like when we're in our reproductive years, our hormones give us a lot of like sheltering from some of the stuff that we don't want to look at. Because if you think about it, in our reproducing years, really it's all about giving our energy outwards, being super resilient and being able to support the needs of others. But when we're going through this phase, which is seen as a second puberty, which is where our ovaries are starting to say like, no, I'm no longer doing this job. And we're moving more into, you know, the second half of our life, which is not about reproducing and looking after everybody else. We don't have as much of a filter. So exactly as you've mentioned, you can start to have some of these feelings when things never used to irritate you so much, that person doesn't pull their weight or this person's always requiring things of you that they shouldn't be. It starts to grate you because it's almost like you need to be turning back the spotlight on yourself and prioritizing yourself because we don't have those same reserves.
That just makes so much sense. Oh my goodness. I'm loving this. And so it was during that particular time that I was doing a lot of my spiritual work and doing a lot of deep and meaningful and everything else. And when you're saying that the hormones are playing this effect, but the environment is also taking on a huge effect for you with your stress yes. levels and everything else. So what I actually did is I didn't adjust the hormones because I wasn't aware of that. Otherwise, I would have looked at that. What I did do was I did all that mental work and all that emotional work and all that spiritual work, and I noticed a huge change in my periods when I was around yes. that age. It was going
like from, in a positive way. I'm assuming
in a positive way. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. So when you're saying that that some of those experiences that you're feeling when you first start going to that perimenopausal stage, that, like after 35-ish, I did experience that they were exactly what I was experiencing. And when I started doing all my work, they changed. The period wasn't heavy, wasn't you know, like full on. I wasn't feeling so emotionally disturbed, for want of another word. Everything started to balance out a lot even. And now that I think about it, if I'd even known more about the hormonal side of it, I may have been able to balance it out even more.
Yeah.
Or improved it as I went into menopause. But there was a huge change in how I had my mental health, in the stress levels, things like that. I changed my mindset, got rid of a lot of that stress level. And yes, there was a huge change in my period. Absolutely phenomenal. And it happened quickly.
And I think that's such an important point for your listeners as well, is that so generally, like the main pain points that women have when they come to me is like stubborn weight gain. They can't lose the weight. It's energy, it's brain fog, and it's the mood disturbances, you know, and perhaps something like heavy bleeding that they, you know, is really impacting their daily lives. Like those are the key pain points. And yes, there are nutritional changes that are highly supportive of somebody's balancing somebody's energy levels and helping them achieve their body transformation goals, exercise, etc. But the most important pillar, which is just what you've touched on, is learning how to manage your stress in a sustainable way. So stress management becoming a priority in everyday life, because if your stress levels are unchecked, exercise you do is going to add more stress to the stress bucket. Your nutrition, you're not necessarily going to be able to digest and absorb all of the nutrition you're trying to eat because our digestion is compromised when we are stressed. So that's a huge piece of the puzzle. And with that, and maybe this is something that you work through, is unresolved trauma. Because unresolved trauma is, it's like a stone in the shoe. It just sits and it irritates the nervous system and it irritates the nervous system and it irritates the nervous system. So when it comes to stress management, resolving trauma, and it doesn't mean you have to have had a massive big T trauma, but it's any little trauma that still remains in your nervous system that is really important to resolve through some of these, you know, spiritual practices, alternative therapies, etc.
Yes, and I like how you said that it doesn't have to be what somebody classes a traumatic experience and what somebody else classes as traumatic. It's not, we're not judging how traumatic it is. That's not what this is about. It's about how your body is affecting
totally.
It. Yeah, and like you say, even that stone in the shoe, that's not traumatic, but it's bloody annoying.
And it keeps going until you've got like a massive hole in your foot.
Absolutely. And that's what that trauma can be like. You know, you can, a lot of people sort of go, I don't even remember that sort of trauma, you know. And it's like, well, it's not about you remembering it in that context, but it is that stone in the shoe. And you're not aware of how you're changing. If it's a stone in the shoe, you change your way of walking so it doesn't
Absolutely.
Hurt.
Yes.
So
yes.
if it's a trauma that's in your mind in there somewhere, that's sat in your subconscious, you're going to be changing your lifestyle. You're going to be changing the direction you take. You're going to be changing a lot of things to ease that pain that you aren't even aware that you're getting there. So yeah. I love that analogy. That is perfect. All right. So when you're talking about, from 35 plus, so basically for people listening 35 plus, they could be going through perimenopausal right now as we speak. And the way that they can tell it is through those pain points. Has their emotions increased, ups and the downs? That, you know, not the this sort of emotion, the like gentle.
It's notable. Way, yeah, it's notable.
Yeah.
Notable change. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we've got through those understandings. And okay, so I'm going to put my hand up, even though I've definitely passed all that. I'm going to put my hand up and say, yes, I'm experiencing that. What do I need to do next, Cheryl?
So what I would highly recommend, so we'll zoom out a bit, because I think it's the most important step in this whole process is for women to take ownership for their health outcomes. Like, they need to know how they want to feel. And the starting point is knowing their baseline. Like, where are you? Where are you, like, tracking your cycle, tracking your symptoms, getting clear on the symptoms that you are tolerating, because we shouldn't have to be tolerating health symptoms because you just think this is the way things are because you are getting older, etc. I want everybody to have a beginner's mind when it comes to their health and to really focus on how good can I feel? You know, like, if you have headaches 3 days a week, that's not normal. If you don't go to the toilet every day, that's not normal. And these are opportunities for you to improve how you feel and how you can show up in all areas of your life. Like, it's not just about, you know, obviously I mentioned the pain points that a lot of women come to me with, but it's not just about that. It's about, you know, as I say in my mission, which is like really showing women how amazing they can feel so they can step into their fullest potential. You know, little subtle things that are just niggling on you every day from a symptom perspective or low energy, etc., is just a hurdle to you stepping into what you could be in this world. So really just taking control of where am I at, what's going on in my cycle, what are my symptoms? Because when you have that baseline and that real understanding of your lifestyle, what you're doing, how you're feeling, you can then track and make changes and see if that's working for you or not. So that's really the starting point. And then
that's your base data. Get your base data and then
yes.
You can move from there. Yes. Okay.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's the whole thing. If somebody is like, oh, well, actually, you know, yes, I'm a little bit irritable the day before my period, but everything's still the same. I still have a regular cycle. Then, you know, keep doing what you're doing. However, I really encourage women to start educating themselves on what is, I like to call it my hormone happy lifestyle for midlife. What is a hormone happy lifestyle for midlife? Because we can't do what we've done in our 20s and early 30s. And what I would encourage women to think about is the earlier you can start to shift your lifestyle from the age of 35, the easier the transition is going to be. Because the whole point around lifestyle is that you are utilizing lifestyle to kind of prop your body up from the loss of hormones. So, you know, as I mentioned, the first hormone to go down is progesterone. So the way to boost progesterone or to help your body have as much progesterone as it can is to reduce your stress specifically in the second half of your cycle, because when you're stressed, your body preferentially goes down the cortisol route and says no to reproduction. So like really focusing on managing your stress in the second half of your cycle is one thing that's going to help you to be able to then not feel so shoddy. Because the thing is, your period and your cycle is a vital sign. So how crappy you feel, how awful your period is a data point that something needs to shift in your lifestyle.
I love that. And I just sort of go, if you had a hand and it was throbbing or it was feeling sore or pins and needles in there, or there was some changes in that hand, you would go, there's something wrong with my hand. I need to go and get it fixed. You know, whether it's coming from the spine or whether it's, you know, something you've just got a big dog hanging off the edge of it or something. If something goes wrong with your hand, you will go and get it fixed. And yet, how often does things change in our cycle
Yeah.
and we just ignore it?
Because we just think that that's the way it has to be. And I think that women don't realize the impact that the positive impact that lifestyle can have on their hormones, on their period, etc. Even people with diagnoses like PCOS, endometriosis, adenomyosis, you can have such a dramatic shift in your symptomology purely by focusing on appropriate lifestyles for those conditions. But it's more so these conversations are amazing because it's planting a seed of hope that you don't have to live with or tolerate these sorts of symptoms because lifestyle really matters. And I think this goes back to the fact that I didn't have a period for so long. I was so out of alignment with my female physiology that my body had just said, no, you are not safe enough to be able to procreate because you are just hammering your body so much through your running and I mean, whatever else I used to do. So, which is why a healthy period is a sign that your body is functioning well. And like learning how to live in accordance with your hormones has like more recently been proven to really enhance female performance. So, you know, our hormone profile is different at each stage of us of our cycle. So, you know, menstrual phase, follicular ovulation, and then luteal phase. We've got a different hormonal profile pretty much every day. So our body just needs something different from us. And if you completely ignore that, that's when, you know, you can start to get this bit of a more impactful period or symptoms in the lead up to your period.
Okay, so Cheryl, when you're working with clients, are you in the way what you're doing? Are you doing like mindset training with them? Are you doing health, as in taking supplements or exercise? What is it that you're doing that will help us to get our hormones back on track?
It's everything. So I'm sure, I don't know, people may have a question about like what on earth does holistic mean? So through my integrative health practitioner certification, the foundation of the protocol is called the de-stress protocol. So it's diet, exercise, stress management, toxin removal, rest, which is getting into the parasympathetic nervous system, emotional balance, supplementation, and success mindset. So it's everything. So I really go, like, I love to go deep with my clients to really get into what is potentially holding them back from achieving their goals, getting into why they currently do what they do, so that I can support them through my coaching to be able to break through and make changes in a sustainable way. So, depending on where somebody is at, like their starting point, will determine which kind of pillar I start off with first. I mean, there may be a lot of mindset work in the beginning, which is getting very, very clear on their goals, understanding who they want to be, who's their future self, who do they want to step into. And then, like, really getting them to put that all over their house, reminders on their phone, so that that can help drive their behavior. Because, you know, the person that they're stepping into is somebody who eats in a way that truly nourishes her body, who's not dependent on external substances to help balance emotions. You know, so all of those sorts of things, so that we can get some healthy behaviors happening. And my whole approach is like really one change at a time. So, you know, perhaps their sleep is terrible. So actually getting sleep right is the thing that's going to unlock their ability to make better food choices, not reach for the chocolate in the afternoon, be kinder to themselves, have the energy. So it really, you know, my one-on-one coaching programs are very bespoke in that way. And I do what's called pocket coaching, which is we have weekly sessions, but then they have access to me all the time so that I can help them through certain situations and really get those breakthroughs in between our sessions.
Wow, that is pretty full on. Before we go any further, though, the website is ytvhealthcoaching.com. Now, YTV is your tiny voice.
Yes.
Yes. No, not YTV. No. Your tiny voice, but not in just the first bits. So ytvhealthcoaching.com. You can meet, you can connect with Cheryl on her website there. So, okay, Cheryl, we've talked about that perimenopausal stage. Let's go one more and have a bit of a look at the actual menopause, because basically that's what all you girls are growing up to do is go through menopause. What are we looking at with that? Can we go a little bit further? Because often you're referring to menopause as basically one date.
Yeah, one day. Yeah.
Whereas I, in my beliefs, in my understandings, was that menopause was over a period of, say, 5 or so many years. But that's actually sort of perimenopausal, really.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you explain a bit more about that?
Yeah. So with perimenopause, so I've spoken about the first stage of perimenopause, which is early perimenopause, which is when progesterone starts to decline. And that's when we get these subtle symptoms and eventually your cycle will start to shorten ever so slightly, so by 1 or 2 days. And then you move into the second phase of perimenopause, which is where the ovaries are starting to slow down and there's this screaming match between the brain and the ovaries. So sometimes the ovaries are saying, no, I am not producing estrogen, and you have a very low estrogen reading. And then sometimes the brain screams and then the ovaries respond exponentially and you have this real shoot up of estrogen. And so it's this middle time that things can feel very out of control, because you don't know if you're going to have a period in a month or if it's going to take 2 months to get a period. Sometimes you feel like you have these very high estrogen symptoms, and other times you feel very flat and low because you have low estrogen symptoms. So that's when people will start to miss cycles, so maybe go 60 days without a bleed. And then as you go further towards menopause, that's when estrogen starts to decline, just starts to go down. And then you've got the symptoms of both low estrogen and low progesterone. And that's kind of where you get those typical menopausal symptoms, which are the hot flashes, etc. So that's actually the low estrogen that's causing that. So or the estrogen fluctuations, really. So that's when you will go longer without a period. So you may go 4 months and then get a period, but you're still not in menopause because you haven't gone a year without a bleed. And then you'll work your way up to menopause. And so I would say probably a year or two after menopause is where, if you haven't taken hormones or you're not taking hormones, your body will then settle into a new rhythm. It's been able to recalibrate to the new level of hormones that are going to be in your body indefinitely. And then everything starts to kind of become more stable at that stage. So the topsy-turvy time is perimenopause 100%. You know, when you're through into menopause and you're through the other side, you know, by 2 years, you should really be feeling more stable. You're not having the mood swings, etc. You know, some women do stay on hormones for indefinitely, but that's really as a personal choice based on your discussion with your doctor and risk, etc.
Okay. So, and I'm going to get quite personal here because it's about me. All right, so I've gone through menopause, well and truly. It's probably been, I don't know, 5 or more years. Probably longer than that. When you were saying that you've got to be aware of your cycles, that was one thing I was really, really, really bad at. Like it happened, too bad. I had my ex-husband used to say, "Oh, you must be getting your period next week." He obviously noticed the fluctuation. I didn't, and that of course that gave me the shits even more because he noticed and I didn't.
Totally.
But so I'm past all that sort of stage now, but I still do experience hot flushes, and I do experience them quite regular, especially in the evening. But I do experience them quite regular. What would I be looking at to adjust them? Would I need, because I don't want to go on hormone. I didn't do any of that. I went a la natural right through. So, people had to cop that. So I don't like taking tablets. I'm really not good at that sort of stuff. But why would I still be getting these hot flushes?
So we still have estrogen in our system, and what can happen is when you eat certain foods, there are triggers to hot flashes as well. And so you may be having something that's a trigger for you for a hot flash. So things like spicy food, caffeine, alcohol, etc. So I think it's really trying to keep track of when they happen just to see if it is a trigger that you are consuming that actually is the thing that's causing them. So really just thinking about that. And other reasons why women have hot flashes is, and which I don't think is in, which I know is on your case, is if you, a woman is severely overweight, because our, when we are through into menopause, our fat cells are quite a big producer of estrogen. It's a weaker form of estrogen, but it's still a form of estrogen for our body. So when somebody has a lot of adipose tissue, they may still be producing a lot of estrogen, and then their body has to metabolize that estrogen as well. And that can also cause hot flashes because our body metabolizes our hormones through our liver. So if there's alcohol or other toxins that are going on in that your body has to metabolize, they will preferentially metabolize the toxins to keep us safe, which means that we will have recirculating levels of things like cortisol, estrogen, etc. So it's really trying to understand, is there something from a lifestyle perspective that you are doing that is causing you to have these hot flashes? Or for somebody who is overweight, research has shown that just losing weight will reduce your estrogen levels and then can reduce the prevalence of hot flashes.
Okay, now that makes sense because yes, my lifestyle has changed a little bit, and yes, I do drink a little bit of wine more than I ever used to. So that's interesting.
So
The
track
other
it and see.
yeah, it is. It's yes, I will actually. I'm a theory tester. If that's what you say, I'm going to test that theory.
You
I
better let
love
me
it.
know.
Yeah, me too. And the other aspect of that, I guess I have looked at it and I've sort of gone, okay, what's causing it? I know, when you're going through the perimenopause or the late ones heading into menopause, even things like blow drying your hair would create a hot flush. That change of temperature would create a hot flush. But what was happening to me at the moment is I get a lot of them at night. So not the sweats, not extreme, but enough to wake me up and have to throw the blankets off for a bit. So I was getting them that way. And so I would think back and go, well, what have I done? What could have created that? So I guess the question I'm asking you, Cheryl, from when we're looking at the triggers, how long between the trigger and the symptom can it be? So for example, if I had a glass of wine at 7 o'clock at night, how long would it be until I would actually feel those symptoms?
Well, I think you would be feeling that when your body, when your liver is trying to metabolize that alcohol. So it could be any time at night. because when you're going to sleep, so the time that your liver works is between like 1 and 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's generally around those wee hours of the morning that we get these wake ups from our hormones and from potentially a sluggish liver.
Okay, now that makes more sense. Right, definitely off the wine now.
I know, because sleep is so important, right? And I think that's I never say no to anything when I coach my clients, but I do encourage them to track how they feel the morning after they've drunk wine, even if it's a glass, to track their sleep. If they've got devices like the Oura Ring, I get them to track their sleep and report back to me what the wine has done to their sleep, so that they can then make an informed decision. You know, it's their health journey. I'm their guide, I'm their teacher, I'm their coach, all of those things, but it's their life. I can't control them. So it's more about me educating them on the impact of their choices on their body and helping them to connect the dots between where they want to go in their health and then for them to make the decision or maybe like wean off in a way that feels more, that feels easier.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, too often you'd go into the doctors, not that I go to the doctors very often, but too often, you know, you go to the doctors and the doctors will say, well, do this. And you sort of walk away going, you know what, that's just too hard.
Yeah.
Whereas when you sort of go, okay, just test it, to see how it goes, see what it looks like. And you're getting that feedback yourself. You're getting that understanding yourself. It empowers you to make those choices. Whether you want to make them or not is irrelevant. It's the fact that you have the ability to do that then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because enforcing something for somebody is it's not going to be sustainable. They need to feel that they've made the decision in their own time in a way that works for their lifestyle.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cheryl, we are running out of time now. Have you got any last little tips that you want to share with us before we say goodbye?
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, just ladies, 35 plus, even if you're through on the other side of menopause, really just encourage you to see this hormonal shift and change as an opportunity for growth, transformation, all the good things. It's not the end of your life, it's the start of a new amazing chapter. And if you learn how to adjust your lifestyle in a way that supports the hormonal transition and supports your new baseline of hormones through in menopause, you can feel amazing. I'm sure that if anybody's interested in this space, you can see women who are on the other side of menopause and just absolutely rocking it. So like it doesn't mean that you're going to be a fading flower. You can really step into your power as a woman with wisdom, energy, and really bring a lot of amazing, amazing wisdom, your magic to the world. So really just thinking about it in the context of an opportunity for transformation. And really there are so many amazing resources out there to be able to educate yourself to make empowered choices when it comes to how you live your life, whether you go down the route of hormone therapy or alternative therapies that can support you through this hormonal transition. So really take your time. I share videos every single day. I have a private Facebook community called Midlife Self Mastery, where I do more in-depth teaching for women on different health topics. So please come along. I'd love to support you, but just know that the way you eat, move your body, manage your stress, detox, gut health, all of those things are really important and need to be done in a way that suits our kind of changing physiology.
Thank you so much. That was brilliant. And I mean, it's true. It is a superpower. If we change the way we look at it, it can be a superpower. It doesn't have to be something that we so often sort of go, oh, bloody hormones, but it doesn't have to be like that. We can make it something really important if that's what we choose to do. And that is what I choose to do. So thank you so much for being on the show, Cheryl.
Thank you so much for having me. I'd love to have a chat.
Yeah. Now, don't go away. I will chat with you in a sec. I just have to do all the goodbyes and everything else. Hey guys, have a look at Cheryl's website. It is ytvhealthcoaching.com. So your tiny voice, yeah, it is your tiny voice, it is. And it makes sense too, because too often we listen to that, the other big loud voice saying, do this, do this. That's what happens to me when it comes to a glass of wine sometimes in the evening. I will listen to my tiny voice this time. I will behave myself and get an understanding. And it's not about behaving myself, getting an understanding of me, my body, my lifestyle, where I'm at now, because it's changed since it happened. You know, different things happen. It's changed. It is always changing. And so we have to be aware of that. Get that base data and then make those positive decisions about that. Share, subscribe, like the podcast, share it with your friends, get it out there, because we know so many people that are struggling with hormones, with this sort of situation, and it can be a power. It does not have to be a negative. So share this a little, share this podcast with your friends and see if they'll get some learning and understanding with it. And pop onto Cheryl's website. That is me for today. Have a great week, and I will see you all next week. Okay, bye for now.